You know what it's like to be on the bill and to play for 15 minutes, and the only people there to see you are the other bands and their girlfriends.
Broadcasting live from inside Goo Goo Doll singer Johnny Resnick's age-defying hyperbaric chamber, it's the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. We're your hosts, Ryan Gurnett.
And Dennis Reed Jr.
So, being a musician is crazy. So what we do here is explore the good, the bad, and the funny of being a local musician. And we do so by interviewing people from every nook and cranny of Buffalo's bustling music scene and asking them to tell us their craziest stories. And then we'll play some of their music.
Yeah, so you get some entertaining stories and you get to hear some music from your peers or just people you follow. On this first episode, our guests are Kendall Cage and Greg Burt from Synthslinger's Optic Oppression. And Ashley, who is actually helps with For the Music Productions, joins them in the second half of the segment. And we'll find out, what is more goth than an abandoned church with no name? Spoiler alert, nothing.
We're going to find out if spending your college financial aid refund check on musical gear is ever not an awesome idea.
Is 112 Buffalo Music Facebook groups too many?
Why you should consider NoCo for all of your breakfast needs.
Who's crazier, Gary Busey or his touring nephew Mike?
And we'll hear the new Optic Oppression song, Sparks, and we'll talk about their new video for it.
Yeah, full show. Full board. Is that what the phrase is? Full board?
Yes, these guys were really interesting. They had a lot of fun stories to tell. So yeah. We'll be getting to that a little later. So first, we're going to tell you a little bit more about ourselves. My name's Ryan Gurnett. I've been a musician for about 25 years. I've been performing in bands since I was about 15 years old, so for about 20 years. I got a degree in music industry from the College of St. Rose in Albany. I am experienced with music business. I've worked in studio sound. I've worked in live sound. I've worked as a sound editor. And I'm currently doing music reviews for all WNY News and all WNYRadio.com, who are our wonderful hosts for this podcast and our partners in crime. And why don't you tell me a little about yourself, Dennis?
Yeah. Well, those are some credentials. Dennis Reed, we play in a band together, Ryan and I do, called The Lady or the Tiger. So, yeah, this whole podcast was Ryan's idea, came out of our experiences both being local musicians. I've been playing since I was about 15. I consider the beginning of my rock career when I got into John Lennon and the Beatles. And also have always been in an original band. I was in the rock group Middleman for a long time. Played in a couple local cover bands. Done a little bit of everything. Did not get my degree in music, though. I actually was an English major.
So I get to talk down to you is what you're telling me.
You may be as condescending as you can muster, sir.
We're going to make that a drop so I can play that for you over and over again because it's going to come up.
Okay, sure. What's the raise fourth in the key of C again? Raised by half step?
F sharp.
Oh, you fucker. All right.
I took... Hey.
Well played this round.
I was required to take 6 semesters of music theory, and I failed it twice.
Okay.
So I took 8 semesters of music theory.
I think you've been studying since band practice.
I'm not going to say I haven't been.
Well, you're my match today, and I'm looking forward to getting into this interview.
So one of the great things Optic Oppression is going to talk about a little later is Mike Busey and the Busey Beauties, which sounds like Cirque du Soleil meets GWAR, I think. And so that kind of got us thinking about some of the craziest bands that we've had on bills with us, that we've had opening for us, and stuff like that. So I have put together a quiz for Mr. Dennis Reed here, and this is called Real Not Real.
Or so, Stump the Grump.
Ooh, I like that. So we are going to, I've got a list here of bands that I've actually opened with that have been just insane, and I have a whole bunch of fake ones.
Okay, so this is bands during your touring years,
during my touring years,
bands.
Local, it's a lot of local bands.
Okay.
Too, so a little of both. So, cue the music! Ooh, I like that. All right. So, right, Dennis. They're called the Mathematicians. They're a three-piece electronic rock band where each member...
You've got a bio and everything for these fake bands?
Oh, yeah. I'm not shitting around here.
This segment's going to take like an hour.
No, it will if you keep interrupting me.
All right.
They're a three-piece electronic band where each member takes on alter egos, dresses in white lab coats, and they perform songs like Binary Girl and Subtract My Life. Real or not real?
I'm going to say that that is a real group.
Correct.
All right. Am I keeping score?
Sure.
Do I win anything?
I'll figure out a prize by the time we're done with this.
Okay.
All right. Next up, we have Human Host. These guys are true rock and roll chameleons. I saw them once and they were a thrash metal band. I saw them again and they performed J-pop, karaoke style, and their CD was kind of White Stripes-ish. Real or not real?
Not real.
Real.
Fuck.
I'll have some fun telling you about them a little later, perhaps.
Okay.
All right. The Reynolds. Out of Rochester, they were one of the loudest bands I've ever heard. When people started leaving the room due to the volume, they declared that this must be a pussy party.
That sounds pretty real.
Correct.
All right.
You got 2 out of 3 so far. All right. Tricky Dick. They're a political punk rock band. They're a four-piece band, and they all wear Richard Nixon masks. Their first EP was called I Am Not a Crook.
I'm going to file that under if it's... I'm going to say real.
Oh, Ooh. Sorry about that one. That is made up. I'm glad that I was able to stop you on at least one of these.
But it should be real.
Oh, absolutely. I'd start that band tomorrow.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're going to be busy soon from these descriptions. These are pretty good. I think we might need to get into the management business.
Ooh, I like that. Certainly pays better than being a musician.
Can't pay much less. Struggle is real.
The struggle is real. All right, next we have Infernal Birth, a band that sounded like this offstage and then sounded like this on stage.
The weirdest thing about any of these is that you have all these details, like for fake ones.
Well, if I just gave you the name, that tells you nothing.
Well, no, but that's plenty. The name is plenty.
And they covered Metallica singing every song just like this. Real or not real?
Can I ask you questions about them?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. What kind of trailer did they have? Oh, you might not know that.
Local band, Dennis. Local band.
Yeah, okay. So let's see. Trick question.
Ah.
What was their name again?
Infernal Birth.
Infernal Birth. They sing kind of Metallica song. And from what city?
From Eden, New York.
I'll say there's nothing that would lead me to think somebody that cheesy would not exist.
You are correct. Real.
Oh, by the way, apologies to that band for calling them cheesy. Are they still together? Do you know?
This was a long time ago.
Okay.
So if they hear this, they probably know how ridiculous it was by now, or I would really hope so.
They've grown up.
Next, we have Pooper Scooper, a six-piece ska band that mostly sings songs about their dogs. In the track My Sweet Dog, they sing about not wanting to pick up dog shit.
Okay, now... The sounds are rather too consistently thematic to be true, so I will say they're false.
You are correct.
All right.
Though, I will tell you, there is this punk song that it does exist called My Sweet Dog, where they talk about not picking up dog shit.
Wow.
All right. The B-Sharps, a barbershop quartet featuring a Hindu man, two alcoholics, and a high school principal. They tried taking barbershop to new places, throwing in Yoko Ono-esque tracks of screaming into their music.
Really? A high school principal doing something interesting? False.
You are correct. That was actually a full-on Simpsons reference.
Oh, okay.
I really wanted to stump you with that one.
That was a good one. That was
Thank
good.
Turbulence, a five-piece cover band that I pissed off at a battle of bands in high school.
True.
Yeah, it is.
Just because I see you pissing somebody off.
One of their parents, after the show, took a swing at me for giving them the middle finger on stage. That's the best part of the story.
Oh, no.
All right. Chinatown Express, a Chinese funk band. There's nothing else interesting about them, but they were a Chinese funk band.
True.
No, Dennis, I'm sorry. You're false on that one.
That's funny.
All right. And then we have Iwi, a three-piece pop punk band consisting of a 45-year-old man who insisted on being called Cheese and two young teens. We weren't sure if he was their father, social worker, or kidnapper.
Let's see. 45-year-old men do like to be around teens. I'm going to say true.
You are correct. All right. They were out of Connecticut. It was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. And finally, we have Johnny Five. It's a punk band where the singer slash guitarist performs with his legs split in an upside down V position, basically doing a leg split while his head faces upwards as he sings into the mic.
I'm going to say Johnny Five, not alive, false.
Incorrect. That one is true. Oh. I have literally injured myself doing impressions of him in front of other musicians before.
Okay, and where did you see this?
This was at the New Age Cabaret in Albany, New York.
My goodness.
They were a touring band, too. Like, this wasn't even a local band. This was a band who went around doing this stuff.
Right. There was a market for this outside of you.
So let's see what we have. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 for Dennis, I think.
That's how I'm trying to tabulate them there. That's the
column
that I got.
4, 5, 6. 6 for Dennis. And 5 were incorrect. So I think I win.
You
win a high five. Here you go.
Oh.
Woo! I threw in a woo for free. So that was real, not real. So before we get started with the optic oppression interview.
Which everybody, I can feel the anticipation building.
Shut the fuck up, get optic oppression on. So few people, places we want to do
acknowledge. First, I'd like to read the phone book.
I hate you so much, Dennis. So first, I want to thank allwesternnewyorkradio.com, allwesternnewyorkradionews.com. It's spelled all WNY radio. But
thank you.
So either way, they have been really nice enough to help promote us by having us on the Think So Joe podcast,
yep.
And they will be hosting us, so I want to say thank you to them. I want to thank Dustin Hummel, who came in today and did some fantastic announcing work for us.
Oh, yeah, you guys would have heard that at the top of the show.
Yeah, so he came in. He's a great voice actor. He is from the Upchuck Theater podcast, where they review terrible movies. And I recommend you check that out. He's an awesome guy, and I can vouch for his taste in terrible movies. And the last person I want to acknowledge is kind of the phantom third member of our team, and that's my wife, Kelly. She drives me. I have a disability where I can't see at night, and she does all the driving for me. And I just want to take this opportunity to say that we really appreciate all of her help, and that without her, we really wouldn't be able to do this. Or Dennis would have to drive half an hour back and forth to Hamburg every time.
Thank you, Kelly.
See, the cat even agrees. So,
indeed. Thank you, Kelly. And also, obviously, thanks to Optic Oppression for coming in and talking
to us, too.
Oh, of
course. Of course. So, we're just going to take a quick pause here for a second, and then we're going to jump into the Optic Oppression interview.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Tell your friends. The struggle is real. Buffalo Music Podcast on allwnyradio.com. Yeah, no, sure. Well, we can answer that again. What have you been having for breakfast?
A variety of things at Noco. When I go in at 5 in the morning, there are quite a few snacks. Noco's a great place for breakfast, by the way.
Underrated as a breakfast source.
Except we don't have sandwiches at my store. Most stores have those breakfast sandwiches. Yeah. It was great when we had them.
Are there hot dogs?
We have none of that.
Oh!
We have snacks only.
It's, because the hot dog rotating in one spot for like 50 hours, that's really what you want for breakfast. You want to start your day with some diarrhea to cleanse out your system.
Right.
With some roller dogs. Well, we're here with Greg and Kendall from Optic Oppression. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello.
Thanks for being here. And I'm Dennis Reed, Jr., and my co-host.
And I'm Ryan Gurnett.
Or am I your co-host?
I think we're both co-hosts.
Okay. That's how co works, I guess.
Yeah, that's how communism works.
Greg is a promoter, an impresario extraordinaire, and also a musician. And Kendall, I don't know you as well. We just met. You're a musician, obviously. Are you you're a singer?
Yeah, a singer. I grew up playing different instruments growing up, but I've been focusing on singing for the past few years. So, I know enough to write and sing on stage.
What is it? Is that all? Is that what you do in the group? In Optic Oppression? Is it just singing?
Yeah.
And the composing.
Yeah, the song Optic has been this project of mine since I was a bit younger, but it's been on the back burner until the past few years. And actually got some people on board with me and started playing some songs out live. I've been writing some new ones.
Cool. So tell people about Optic Oppression, like what genre you consider yourselves, how long you've been together. Just give us a... Do you want to start, Craig?
The easiest way that I tell people is just electronic rock. Because if you try to get into subcategories and stuff, we don't really fit. And we do try to go to something a little bit different. But if you want like a reference point, everyone goes for the Nine Inch Nails is kind of the idea. But we are a full rock band instead of just like electronics and such. So,
and you mentioned that in the, I think it was on the Bandcamp page that whoever wrote it, that you look at production as, I think, another instrument. Was that the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely is. When I was going to MCC in Rochester, I was living in Rochester and got this, you know, those refund checks that you get.
Sweet refund checks. Yeah. Oh yeah.
I spent like
you always spend them wisely, right? Yeah. When you're in school, never buy an amp or anything with those.
Right. Yeah, that was like when I took a very deliberate turn towards production, and I spent it all and some debt on a Triton studio, and started making my own shit ever since, you know?
Yeah, that's something that definitely stands out about you guys when I was listening to your tracks, is they sound really well produced, and they sound sort of cinematic, actually, is the word that kept coming to mind. Like, I kind of like closed my eyes and picturing, like, you know, Brandon Lee or something, like jumping from a building, or Spider-Man, or...
Speaking of, what's coming up is our music video.
Oh, yeah?
We have a debut video coming out real soon. We got some edits in, so it's looking real nice.
Awesome. Where are you doing that at?
We hired Spin Kick Productions.
Okay.
Out of Albany, was it?
Yeah, Albany's kind of that around that area.
Yeah. They came down and filmed it with us at the, was the church?
Richmond Ferry Church. I mean, it doesn't have an official name other than that, just because it's been abandoned for a while. So it's on the corner of the roundabout of Richmond.
Okay. How did the... Oh, Richmond?
Richmond.
Yeah, I know.
Richmond and Ferry.
Yeah. Oh, cool. How did that come about? Whose idea, like, where'd the concept of the video come from?
We just wanted a performance video. We needed something, you know, but everything kind of fell into place, so we got something really fucking good, in my opinion.
Oh, cool. What song is it accompanying?
Sparks.
Okay.
Yeah, it's actually an old song, but since there are people, like, in the band now, we kind of re-recorded, reinvented. The whole thing's kind of evolved over the years, and into like what I guess I would consider one of our more defining songs. It kind of like gives the immediate impression of, you know, where we're at. Or it's a good representation of our style of music.
When do you expect to have that released?
We don't have a date yet.
Okay.
But it should be pretty soon, because it's pretty much done.
Okay, so probably by the time this podcast goes out, because this
go
is...
to our Facebook, and all the info will be there.
Yeah, no, the production quality was excellent. Optic Oppression was the first thing I reviewed when I started writing for All Western New York News. And what really struck me about the difference between that and some of the other stuff I heard was the production quality. Like this sounded like a record, like something you see in the store, like you said, it's like Spider-Man. It sounded like something you'd hear on a movie sound, whereas some of the other stuff, like...
So it's Spider-Man directors, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Talk to us.
Spider-Man 4, Optic Oppression, match made in heaven.
Cool.
Do you have a booking philosophy, like with the frequency you do your shows at?
Once a month is usually the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And from like a promoter standpoint, that's what I try to tell people to do as well. It seems to be the best, you know. If you want to do like a 3-month span, you can get an even bigger draw, but you're waiting so long to play out. So I find that is a good balance.
Right.
And maybe we'll take a month off and be more focused on getting the video out or doing something else. But mm-hmm. we kind of do like once a month about, but depending on what comes up too.
Right.
So.
Hey, Dennis. He said,
yes, sir.
He said 3 months.
Yeah, well, I heard
I'm
that.
I'm just okay.
No, we're kind of on track. Actually, but we just...
I think we're at 6.
We take winters off for some reason. We don't like the cold.
And spring.
And the snow. And spring. And we've taken most of this... Okay, summer off too.
I mean, taking gears through the snow is just tough.
So I can think of like at least 4 shows I've played that were in the middle of blizzards and no one came to.
Speaking of, you know, tips for bands and promotion, You run For the Music Productions, Greg?
Yep, fdmpevents.com is all the info.
Okay, and the name of For the Music, I think, is pretty self-explanatory, what it means. But
that's the idea.
But go ahead and explain.
It's for the music.
It's for the music. Like the music is the important thing.
Yeah. So, and that's how it started, too. I started off doing some small shows at Filigree's, and it was Gorilla Gallery at the time, then it turned to Allentown Music, too. Now it's an empty building down on Elmwood. Doing some small shows because I wanted to do shows. I was working for Inside a Riot before that for a couple years, which before that I did one show through WBNY that nobody came to. I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, all right, I need to figure this out. So after doing Inside a Riot for a couple years, that kind of was going under. So I was like, I figured this out. I can do it now. And I started doing it, you know? So, but I just wanted to do it to help bands play out and give them opportunities, build the scene, you know, have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And keep it sustaining so I can keep doing it, which is what it's reaching right now, is some bigger acts and more money coming in. So it's not making money, but it's building, which is so cool to see.
Absolutely.
You literally led into my question. We've been talking with other bands about their opinions on the scene, and it just kind of seems to be, I feel like, at least a lot of the people we're talking with, it almost seems like you come to the show, the other bands don't really pay attention. They're not really interested in networking.
And they're fans, right?
Yeah. Right. So, like, what do you think?
We don't like
is
those.
There anything you can do from, like, a promotions, from being the promoter, to try and build on that?
Because I used to do, like, only you have your set time determined ahead of time. You know when you're going on. Because I felt like it might have been easier. You know, you could tell your fans when you're going on and stuff. But I actually find it better to have it determined by ticket sales. Because it gets everybody there on time. You're pushing the show more because you want to go later on. So we do get some better crowds out as well. But it gets everybody there.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're not there at load-in, you're kind of getting like the, hey, where are you text? And then everybody gets there and everybody will see each other. I can't stop people from leaving early.
You know,
that's not something I can personally do.
Right.
But I do find that a little bit better, at least.
Okay.
I think having
and reaching out. Like, when you get there, go talk to the fans.
Right.
Absolutely.
So I have to ask you what we can do about this, Greg Burton. Right now, we have to figure out, we're gonna solve how to stop the insanity with these different Facebook local music groups that are going on right now.
Oh, no.
Because we've got, there's Support Buffalo New York Original Music, all capital letters. There is Support WNY Original Music, mixed case.
I probably have more than you, so I'm gonna bring mine up too.
Okay, Buffalo Music, proud supporters of the Buffalo music scene, and I think the most recent, the baby on the scene, Unite the 716 Scene, which I think is kind of an ironic one because I think that was an attempt to combine the other ones and get rid of them, but now it's turned into a seventh place that you're posting.
There's also Concert Crowd is a big one.
Oh, Concert, and that's a local one mainly?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
You got West Camp Music Fans, you got Support
Wheelers.
There's DIY 716, it's our music, we make the decisions. New York local shows. Support West New York Original Music, Buffalo Musicians and Artists, 716 Events, Everything West New York Music, Proud Supporters, Buffalo Bandmate, there's a bunch of them.
Oh, West fucking New York Radio.
Yeah, of course.
Fucking crazy. What's going
like
on?
Five for metal, there's a couple for hardcore, there's a couple for hip-hop.
What are we going to do?
Metal.
What are we going to do about this? We got to fix this situation. Is there a plea you'd like to put out to these owners of the different groups or
what
to
I noticed
bands?
Is a lot of them
what
aren't
can we
owned
do?
Anymore.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it turns into. There's a couple that are still moderated.
Yeah.
But quite a few of them have just amassed a number and then somebody let it go.
Right.
It's
a
pretty
good
common
forum for people to see what's going on.
Yeah, but it seems like when I go there, and maybe I have odd expectations, but I'll post things about shows and there's, you know, it just seems like everybody just posting things and there's really no interaction or sort of, or very little that I've seen. And these are the groups that I'm talking about here. You know, it'd be, is there a music, you know, Facebook page that you find there is like interaction and actually like bands like, you know, like uploading tracks and people? Is there one that's more socially? Because a lot of them seem very zombie-ish.
They're pretty zombie-ish.
Yeah.
The Buffalo Bandmates has quite a few of interactions going on. That's one that Baldy Mohawk Place started up. But I feel like we do kind of need something like that, you know.
Yeah.
And the Facebook group gets just masked. So there's not really a way to turn that into a interaction-based thing unless it's specifically moderated. But maybe a forum or something, you know.
All right, cool. So we're going to play a song by you guys now. Do you want to tell us about it?
Well, I can't get sparks out of my head. Why don't I shoot that one out there?
Okay, so Sparks, this is the one that there's going to be a video coming out for, right?
Yeah, the video, it's a new mix and everything. It is on the old EP, but that is a very old version. But this song, the song's pretty much about evolution and turning into a machine. Yeah, it's kind of in the chorus, you know, as, like I said, it's very imagery based and everything, so very loose cohesion.
Mm-hmm.
But you get the picture by the chorus, you know.
Oh, great. All right. Well,
when it's ready, it's going to be up on Brutal Resonance.
Cool. All right. Well, here is Sparks by Optic Oppression on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
That's the whole bit's going to be in, right?
Yes.
No,
okay.
Yeah. we cut. I didn't start recording until halfway through.
God damn it, Dennis.
I believe it.
Missed the best part.
So I am Ryan Grenett, here with my co-host, Dennis Reed Jr. I'm here to tell you, the struggle is real. We've got Kendall Cage. Kendall Cage from Optic Oppression. We have his bandmate Greg Burt and the man behind For the Music Productions. And we have Ashley, who's also a big helper outer of For the Music Productions.
Yeah, you do. What do you do, Ashley? Do merch and stuff? Is that
for,
what I'm hearing?
For FTMP, I run the door. I check in with all the acts and make sure they sold their tickets.
Run the shows.
Run all the shows because this one likes to work.
So then you can afford the shows. The struggle is real.
It is.
Exactly.
We are poor.
What does what success look like for you guys, for Optic Oppression specifically? What do you think is going to make you feel like, you know, you did what you set out to do?
We're getting there.
Okay, you're getting there.
Because we want to be a touring act. We want to get, you know, farther than, as you were saying, we want to stand out from the local crowd because we want to be more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we want to get to, you know. Get a label and get signed and everything, but we know it takes time, takes a lot of work, and that's what we're working towards.
Optic Oppression definitely seemed to have like an ethos. Sparks had a theme of sort of dehumanization, people becoming like industrialized, or a person being turned into a robot. Is that
like it? Kind of
is that accurate?
Yeah, I agree. It, it's kind of a collection of I want to say most of our personalities. Greg here might be the exception. But,
is Greg a sunny guy? Or?
We swore one day we would break him and would make him cry. But now it's just, it's like, whatever. One of these days, he's going to snap and it's going to be bad.
Have there been any band fights or members that you couldn't get along with?
Have you gone through a lot of, I know you said you've been doing Optic Oppression for a while. Have you had a lot of members in and out, or has it been like you bring someone in and they're family?
We've had, I like to consider everybody family, stops in, but we've had a few.
But family can fight.
Yeah, we've had a few tweak out and leave.
Some on better terms.
Yeah, like, it's never been, I feel like things would resolve better if they were just more belligerent and aggressive.
Instead
of being, like, passive.
Everything would be on the table, you know? And however volatile it would be for a brief period, like, everything could be sorted out from there, because we all have the best of intentions, you know?
But sometimes it's these things that, I know you're saying, I felt this in bands too, that it's actually more destructive to have somebody kind of sitting there like silently smirking while you're playing your new Celtic song. or whatever, for instance.
So, Kendall, during the audition process for like bringing people into the band, have you had any like really bad ones?
Yeah, actually.
Me.
I hired him on the spot.
Yeah, there have definitely been bad auditions. I mean, I can't really go around slamming people.
No, without naming names.
We don't name names.
We've been in the same position. We were auditioning for a long time for a drummer and a lead guitar player.
That was actually one of the things that prompted my idea for this podcast. We auditioned 24 people between guitars and drums. And, like, we had one guy do his audition with his back to us.
The Craigslist best of the best.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. One guy came in, and he played all of our songs with, like, a jazz beat. Like, ting, ting, ta-ting, ting, ta-ting. And he refused to play one of the audition songs because he called it psychedelic trash, I believe.
Which I thought was a compliment. You had to tell me that.
Yeah,
that was
that's awesome.
He was like,
hear that song.
That guy was like 60 going on 90, and he looked like Super Mario, kind of. He had like the mustache and this bald little squat. He called me for like every like 3 months after. I'd be like, hey, I'm trying out a sax player. You want to play? And I'm like, no. he's like, I don't need you to join a band. I just need someone there to help test. I'm like, no. Why are you? Don't get rid of my phone number. And eventually, I had this note in my phone. Where his contact name was Tell Robert to Fuck Off. Just so I would remember the next time he called to just be like, stop calling me.
You're like Memento.
Yeah.
Leave a note for yourself.
Have you guys been, have you opened for any like big name acts? Any like nationals?
Mike Busey and the Busey Beauties.
I'm not familiar.
They're just entertainers. Mike Busey, I think, is like the nephew of Gary Busey.
Yep.
Sold.
Yeah, and he pretty much does this.
Like, I don't know where he finds these chicks. Freak show.
I don't know where he finds them, but they put on a good show. You should look them up sometime. Wow.
They brought a swing into Mohawk Place.
Yeah.
Like a backyard sort of swing?
Pretty much, but like a sound swing dancing and such as well.
Yeah.
Wow. They have how many gallons of milk on their rider?
Bunch of eggs.
Their rider was ridiculous.
Yes.
They're like, here's a list. Just buy $100 of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, sure. And I look and I'm like, oh, jackpot. They had 8 gallons of milk, 36.
Which
they used all of it.
In a kiddie pool filled with the milk and cereal.
Yep.
Cereal. Wow. You know what? Better that they do that than waste it.
Right?
There was cereal on the rider. And like none of this was to eat. It was all props. 36 hot dogs.
How many eggs?
Wait. Cooked or uncooked?
Uncooked.
Okay.
Because that was...
Can't slap somebody with a cooked wiener.
It's got to be the more rubbery the better.
It was 2 dozen eggs, but I knew what they were using them for, so I bought them 6. And they were so excited about that because they're like, most people won't even buy the eggs because they end up like basically shooting them into the girls' butts.
Right.
And
of course.
So when people realize what it is, they're like, oh, no, I'm not even going to bother with that. But me, I was like, I need to see this in person.
I will triple your
allotment of eggs. I will take that, and I will triple it
so
for you.
How do you shoot a egg into a woman's butt? Is there a,
Some
sort of cannon?
Yeah, like a t-shirt cannon.
Right.
And like they were using the torches to blow fire, and oh god, there was so much. And like we had a shopping cart, and people were just looking at us in Walmart like, are they having a barbecue? I'm confused. They have cereal, they have eggs, they have hot dogs, they have hot dog buns. What is going on here?
So this sounds like a Cirque du Soleil meets like Guar, I think.
Yeah.
That's probably about right.
It's Gallagher.
Yep.
Movie version back in time.
By way of Gallagher. Do they actually play any music or what?
They have a DJ.
What's
an
happening?
In-house DJ.
Okay.
So it's just a freak.
It's more performance art.
Yeah. How long does the freak show go on for?
It's like an hour and a half.
The art. Right.
The art.
I'm
sorry.
2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't end up leaving till like 1-2 in the morning.
Yeah.
All right.
So like what other circus tricks did they bring out?
My favorite was when they, it was kind of near the start. They were like, all right, they get the girls dance and everything. And then they're like, somebody who hasn't felt the touch of a woman in some time, come up to the stage. And like somebody reaches their hand up like, when's the last time you? And they're like, oh, it's been like last week. Like, get off of here. Go somewhere else. So they bring somebody else up. They sit them down in the chair. The girls start dancing around them. And then they take some big saran wrap and they wrap them all up dump a bunch of chocolate syrup all over them.
What the fuck?
And then drag them off the stage.
Wow.
So, and the person has no idea what's happening.
Nope.
Correct? Oh, God.
Do girls administer the chocolate syrup, at least?
Yep. Okay.
So it's kind of like a sexy thing for him, I
for
suppose.
For some people.
Yes,
that's right.
Some
it's
people.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Lumberjack Matt, your boy Skilly Vanilli Earth, and you listening to the Struggle Is Real Buffalo's Music Podcast. On WAA.
I can't do that.
While I agree that in time our band will be most triumphant, the truth is Wild Stallions will never be a super band until we have Eddie Van Halen on guitar.
Yes, Bill, but I do not believe we will get Eddie Van Halen until we have a triumphant video.
Hi, Dennis. All
right. Hey, what's up, dude? Hi, Dennis. We're still here. Hey, guys. We're still here with Optic Oppression and Ashley.
FTMP events.
You're a promoter. You do sound a lot at your shows, I know.
Not as much anymore.
You used to, at least. Any just, like, mass equipment failure that just, like, ruined a whole show. Like, I don't know, like, the one time I played at Stamps and the power went out at midnight and we had to load up our van in the pitch dark.
I know the biggest one that comes to mind, too, is when we were doing Move the Pole Fest, which was the first Burt Fest, was the idea. The electricity bill wasn't being paid, which I did not know about. It was going to get shut off that day. except the person working the electric company, there's one of their sons was in a band playing it and luckily had overheard and was like, no, you can't shut it off today.
That's amazing.
And got it overwritten so that we could do the show.
Oh, that sounds like a connection worth keeping, I think. Yeah. That's someone you want to keep around. Is there like a kind of like an optic oppression kind of groupie? It's like a certain kind of person or like certain kind of people in your crowd you kind of see or anyone?
Yeah, who are your fans? Who comes out to the shows?
We definitely have some regulars, you know. Mm-hmm. What do you want to shout out?
Well, I didn't think it was a shout out kind of question. But,
it can be.
Definitely say hi to, like, April and Amanda, and Jesse's been coming out, and Charlie, and...
They get women coming to their shows. What are we doing now?
What? Women come to shows? I had no idea.
No, we have, a pretty solid core of, really, really, devoted fans, I guess. I don't know, there's some awesome people.
Everybody comes to my show.
Pretty sure, like, other than Greg, and I mean, Greg kind of, like, spices shit up, really, but other than him, I'd say there's kind of a dark underlying vibe, a little bit of depression or whatever that kind of, like, I guess I just see a lot of, maybe it's, like, I've had a lot of, depression issues myself, and maybe just the fact that I'm like broadcasting it wherever and kind of people are coming to listen might have something to do with it. But I mean, it never really dawned on me that what was being created would attract the same type of people that created it. So like, I guess.
Cool. Yeah. Let's, you know, we don't all just, go to bars, I guess, to get cross-eyed and laid. You know, sometimes it is nice to be there with a group of folks who are playing music that you love and that speaks to you and, you know, feel like, together with people, I guess, right?
Yeah. Well, I love putting on concerts.
Let's all sing Kumbaya. Good.
They get women to their shows and people listen to their music. What are we doing wrong?
Well, that's what this podcast is really about. We're trying to figure out what we're doing wrong. It's all like a long, protracted experiment to draw good band advice out of folks.
And then once the band's successful, it'll turn into like relationship advice. Like,
right. We'll have a new...
Hey, Greg, how do I get a girlfriend?
Well,
I'm married, so that doesn't really quite work out.
Exactly. But. Let's clarify that.
Greg, I'm married and I want a girlfriend. What do I do?
You don't say it publicly. You can't let me know.
Any of these people come to your shows? You got any stalkery, weirdo kind of anyone causing extra mayhem or?
In general, of course, that
nothing names. That's actually like backfired or really caused any. Real harm or anything.
People have been pretty cool.
Yeah, anybody else who just is that, what's the word? That enthusiastic, I guess. I don't really see it as a bad thing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah.
Creepy or not, whatever.
Right.
I love them all.
Sure.
That was my dating motto in college. That didn't quite work out the same. Well, she's creepy, but she likes me.
That's all that matters. That goes a long way. I think you're talking truth, my friend.
So that's See, all
we're
I've
going
got.
To relationship
that all
advice.
You've got?
Okay, yeah. We segued right there.
Next one's going to be all relationship advice.
But we can still call it The Struggle is Real.
Absolutely.
There you go.
It's like we know what the hell is going on.
Right. Don't ask us anything.
So thanks for coming in, all of you. We've got Kendall and Greg from Optic Oppression, and then Greg also from For the Music Presents, and Ashley also from For the Music Presents.
Productions.
Yes. Productions, yeah, I'm sorry.
FDMP Events.
Yep. So yeah, give us your websites again.
OpticOppression.com, FDMPEvents.com. WestNewYorkRadio.com.
Yeah, yeah. Let's make sure we get a plug in for that for them, for our hosts, our patrons.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks, guys. Good luck.
Thank you.
Music.
Playing off music.
All right.
We just finished.
just say what nobody else wants to say to you. Your looks have become a problem.